Well, please turn to me once again to the reading earlier in 1 Samuel chapter 7. And while you're turning there, it's good to be here amongst you. I brought my daughter Grace with me this time round. I think I was here quite a few years ago when my late father-in-law, Kenneth Harris, was preaching here. That would be sometime around 2010, I believe, or 2011. So, but it's good to be here and to bring greetings from the brethren in Dunblane Free Church up in Scotland, and it's to bring greetings from them. They know we're here and they're praying for us all. So may the Lord bless us together as we consider and contemplate this verse in 1 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 12 in our reading and in our scripture memorization early on. The Word of God says, "Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpeh and Shen, and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." Well, this particular passage was written about 1,000 years before Christ. Samuel, you know, is classified as Israel's last judge after the period of the judges and the first prophet raised up by God. You can read all about that in this particular book, and also in Acts of the Apostles. He was mentioned in Acts chapter 3 and Acts chapter 13. And Samuel was raised by the Lord just before the kings were established in Israel. Now we come to this point in this passage where Israel had just lost the Ark of the Covenant, that great symbol of the presence of God with Israel. They've just lost the Ark of the Covenant to the Philistines during a particular war. And they lost this Ark of the Covenant coincidentally in a place called Ebenezer. So you can read all that in 1 Samuel chapter 4. You may know about the story, perhaps you're well familiar with the story of the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, who were killed during this particular battle. And the distressing news of the two sons of Eli who were killed reached the Eli himself, and he fell backwards and broke his neck and died. You may have heard about that story. And then you know about what happened to the Ark of the Covenant. It was brought by the Philistines to the temple of Dagon in Ashdod and placed next to Dagon, this big idol, in this particular temple. And the next day, you know this story well, Dagon was found fallen on his face on the ground before the Ark of the Lord. And so the Philistines brought the Dagon up again, and then the next day the statue was down, the idol was down again, but this time the head and the hands were broken off and only the body just remained. And all that you can read in chapter 5. And then not only was this very significant event took place, but also a number of Philistines themselves were struck down in Ashdod by tumors, or some kind of a disease, some kind of tumors. Some might say it might be some kind of a bubonic plague. In 1 Samuel 5 verse 6, you can read and onwards, the hand of the Lord was heavy upon them in Ashdod, and he destroyed them and smote them with Amorites, even Ashdod and the coast thereof. So they had this some strange disease, and so the Ark of the Covenant was moved to a place called Gath in chapter 5 and verse 9. So they realized that the Ark of the Covenant with them was bad news, and so they moved it to Gath. And guess what? The same thing happened. There are many in Gath were struck down by this particular disease and died. And so they moved the Ark of the Covenant again, this time to a place called Akron. And sadly, the same situation took place. And many of them died. And we read in 1 Samuel chapter 5, the man that died not was smitten with the Amorites, and the cry of the city went up to heaven. So each time, the bottom line is, each time the Ark of the Covenant moved within the land of the Philistines, people were struck down by disease and died. And the Ark of the Covenant was with the Philistines for only 7 months.
Okay, it was only there for a short time, only 7 months. The Ark of the Lord in chapter 6, verse 1, the Ark of the Lord was in the country of the Philistines 7 months. And in that short period of time, it created so much trouble for the Philistines. And they knew, in chapter 6, verse 3, they said, if ye send away the Ark of the God of Israel, send it not empty, but in any wise return him a trespass offering. Then he shall be healed, and it shall be known to you why his hand is not removed from you. The Philistines called the priests and the diviners basically and asked them, you know, what are we going to do with this Ark of the Covenant? We need it far away from us. They knew that they were under the judgment of the God of the Israelites. Now, so interesting, isn't it not? The Israelites who had the Ark with them were blissfully unaware, and they worshipped idols. We know they were committing sin with a high hand. They were worshipping idol, and they lost the Ark, and they were unrepentant. It took them quite a long time before they came to repentance. But yet the Philistines, in that short 7 months, they knew they were under the judgment of God. They knew that, and they decided, no, we must deal with this. We must return the Ark to the Israelites. You know, sometimes you'd be amazed that those who are unconverted, they know that they're under the judgment of God. They may not like the idea of God. They may not like the whole notion that there is God who exists, a God who is watching over them, but they know that they're under the judgment of God. But yet there are Christians, professing Christians, with an open Bible, with Bibles at home, with a place to worship, and yet remain unrepentant, indifferent to the things of God. Well, I trust that none of us in this room this day are in that kind of situation. But it's amazing that the Philistines, in that short 7 months, they realize, no, we've done something wrong. God, the God of Israelites, is judging us, and we must return the Ark to them. And so they return the Ark to the Israelites after that short span of time. And the Ark was brought from the Philistine territory into the house of Abinadab in Kiriath Jearim in Israelite territory. And so this is where we come into our chapter 7 in verse 1. The men of Kiriath Jearim came and fetched up the Ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of Abinadab in the hill and sanctified Eleazar his son to keep the Ark of the Lord. And it was kept there for 20 years before it was moved into the tabernacle. Now, my sermon this morning is made out of two parts, looking back and looking forward. Looking back and looking forward. And it's good for us to think about this thing, certainly in the new year, January 2025, to look back and to look forward. And we will use this particular passage. Certainly the whole idea of the stone called Ebenezer to help us to look back and help us to look forward. The Ark, like I say, was left in Kiriath Jearim for about 20 years. It's quite interesting, is it not? Why not bring it back straight to the tabernacle in Jerusalem? The distance between Jerusalem and Kiriath Jearim is about 10 miles. It's only about 10 miles. But it took 20 years before the Ark of the Covenant went from this particular home into the tabernacle. Now, perhaps the question may be asked, why is that the case? Why is that the case? Why did it take the Israelites 20 years? Now, it could be, and some have suggested that it took them 20 years to repent. It took them 20 years to repent before they realized the sinfulness of their ways. Now, 20 years may seem long, and perhaps it is long. It took them 20 years before God's presence was going to come back to the Israelites. But perhaps you may think about it this way. Do you know of somebody who at one time knew God's word, read the Bible, perhaps been catechized, knew the Bible stories, and then this person turned away from the Lord? That person may backslide from the Lord. And if that person may backslide for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, maybe even 20 years.
Perhaps, I don't know you, I know some of you, but not all of you, but perhaps you may be one of them. Perhaps you've been backsliding for the last 20 years. But if you know of somebody who has been backsliding for that period of time, have you prayed for that person to come back to the Lord? Are you praying for that person to come back to the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? To come back to His Word? To come back to the people of God? To come back to the public worship of God? To the Word of God and so on? We all need God's presence with us. We may not need, well, we don't need the Ark of the Covenant, but we certainly need God's presence with us through His Word. We need that, and we need that daily. We need the Word of God to be expounded through us, applied to our hearts, that we may all be built up spiritually, built up mentally. You know, that's so important for us, and perhaps that's, this is a picture for us of the Ark of the Covenant taking 20 years to go from the house of Abinadab into the tabernacle of the Lord. And so Samuel, we read, gathered the people at the town of Mizpah and prayed for them in chapter 7 and verse 5, we're now reading earlier on. And mercifully we have, we can read in verse 5, gather all the people to Mizpah and I'll pray for you unto the Lord. And they gathered together, drew water, and they said there, we have sinned against the Lord. Finally they are saying this, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. Mercifully, the people of God realized the sinfulness of their ways, and they confessed the sin to the Lord and repented. And we know that they have repented because they destroyed the idols that they kept in their homes. They destroyed those idols that they had. And so we read in the children in verse 4, the children of Israel, they put away Baalim and Ashtaroth and served the Lord only. So finally, you know, they came to their senses. Finally, they did what we read in the New Testament, bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance. Finally, they've got rid of those idols and they are showing forth repentance, true repentance. And it's during this time that the Philistines heard that what the Israelites were doing, they were gathering Mizpah, and they, so they decided to take advantage of that to attack the Israelites. And Israel heard that they were coming, they panicked, and we read in verse 8 that they begged Samuel to do something, and so Samuel responded by sacrificing a lamb to God on behalf of the people. And when the Philistines still took advantage of that gathering, and they attacked, but the Lord heard Samuel's prayer and rescued and delivered them. And so we read in chapter 7 verse 10, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel, but the Lord thundered with great thunder on the day unto the Philistines and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. The Lord heard the prayers of His people. These are the people who are in repentance, and the Lord heard their prayers, and the Lord intervened with that great thunder to throw the Philistines into confusion and turn the enemies into a retreating nation. Interesting, is it not, that when the Lord's people are on the right path, when the Lord's people are in a state of repentance and a state of return to the Lord, when they are coming back from their idolatry and coming back to the Lord, is it not interesting that Satan will use the Philistine to try and interfere with that process? But more interestingly and more positively, God will intervene, and He will, and the Lord will intervene to encourage the Israelites to persevere in their repentance. You see this dynamic? Can you see this dynamic there? That when the Lord's people were repenting, destroying all the idols, that's where Satan decided to use the Philistines, go attack them. But the Lord intervened and stop the attack, and say, basically saying to them, persevere, continue in your right path. It's so easy, we see, and even in this day and age, in our churches, when we want to conduct something, when we want to do something good, something that is honoring the Lord, when we want to perhaps want to conduct an outreach event, perhaps you want to be charitable to visitors, you want to welcome people into this church. Sometimes you do notice, Satan does create trouble for us. I can see some smiles, and you know what I'm talking about. You want to do something good and worthy for, you want to do the Lord's work in this place. And Satan would do something, anything, to stop that. You know, even in the New Testament, you read in John's epistle, 3 John, Diotrephus, who loved to have the preeminence among them, receive us not. See, even somebody like the Apostle John, trying to do something, got disrupted by this Diotrephus. Or the Apostle Paul, writing to Timothy, spoke about Demas. Demas has forsaken me and loved the present world and is departed unto Thessalonica. Oh, you know, this is Paul wanting to do something good, trying to do the Lord's work, and got really, really hurt by Demas. It does happen even in our churches as well, just like it happens in the time of the Israelites. But the Lord would still find His way to encourage us, to say to us, no, continue in that right path. If you're doing the Lord's work, the Lord will make the way clear for you, for all of us. And so to commemorate the Lord's deliverance of His people again, and to commemorate the Lord's faithfulness again, despite the sins of the Israelites again, Samuel took a stone and set it in between these two places, Mizpeh and Shen, and call it Ebenezer. Hitherto has the Lord helped us. Or, in some translations, it says, till now, or thus far, the Lord has helped us. The word Ebenezer is basically made out of two Hebrew words, stone and help. So it's, sometimes Ebenezer is called the stone of help. And Samuel wanted the people to remember all that years, in fact decades of sin, decades of disregard of the things of God, of declension. Practically 20 years is a whole generation. 20 years is a whole generation. A whole generation is being practically lost through idolatry, through sin. Samuel is trying to remind his people with this particular stone of help, this Ebenezer. He's reminding them about not just about their sins, about their unrepentant sin and their idol worship, but he's also trying to remind them, you know what? The Lord still blessed you and still brought you through this period. The presence of God is still with us. This stone, this Ebenezer, is going to mark that event and mark this time for them. That's why it says, hitherto has the Lord helped us. Till now, thus far, the Lord has helped us. You know, what about us? You know, this is my first point, you know, it's about looking back. 2024. It's only just, you know, last year. It's not that long ago. What has 2024 been for you, for all of us? Perhaps we have lost a few members in our churches through death, or perhaps some have moved out of the area. That brings a certain level of sadness. But perhaps there are blessings that we can look back. Perhaps new people have come amongst us. Perhaps there has been more opportunities open to us for gospel work. I don't know what's the situation in this place, but looking back at 2024, you know, how has the Lord helped us? How has the Lord blessed us? Perhaps we might think a bit more personal. What has our life been like in 2024?
Have we faced many challenges in our lives, like Israel of old? Perhaps you're here this morning and you're not converted, if you're still outside the kingdom of God, and perhaps if you're yet to come to faith in Jesus Christ, perhaps you may look back and say, maybe in 2024, maybe the Lord has been prompting me to come back, to come under the sound of the gospel, to come back to the gospel of Jesus Christ. All the things I learned when I was a child, you know, now it's making more sense now. It's challenging my heart. Perhaps that's what the Lord is doing in 2024, or what the Lord has done in 2024 for you. Perhaps now you realize Jesus Christ died and rose to save me, a sinner. You know, and He is not only going to save me as a sinner, He's still going to save me and still going to continue to help me to 2025. But looking back, you know, perhaps there's been a work of the Spirit of God through the Word of God in your life to draw you to the Savior, Jesus Christ. And perhaps if you are a Christian here this morning, what's 2024 been like for you? Have we all grown in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? As Peter wrote in his letter in 2 Peter 3:18, have we grown in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Have we grown? Have we grown since 2024 into 2025? 12 months. What have we learned? What graces have we cultivated? What sins have we mortified in the last year? What's been like for us? Can we say, like Samuel, thus far the Lord has helped us? Can we say, as Samuel, hitherto has the Lord helped us? Can we say that, like Samuel? But looking back is one thing. What about looking forward? What about looking forward? You know, Israel was not going to have zero contact with the Philistines. Okay, so we read in chapter 7 again. In verse 13, so the Philistines were subdued, and they came no more into the coast of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. The hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. And the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel from Akron even to Gath, and the coast thereof did Israel deliver out of the hands of the Philistines. So after the placing of that stone, called Ebenezer, it doesn't mean that Israel is going to be sitting on their laurels and relaxing and smelling the roses. No, they were going to be doing the task of the Lord in liberating towns such as Akron and Gath and so on, towns that were once occupied by the Philistines. In other words, the job wasn't over. The job wasn't over for the Israelites. That placing of the stone was only till now, up to that point in time, till now the Lord has helped us. It's only up to that point in time that they are recounting and remembering God's faithfulness and His help. The job is not over yet. That stone of help was not a declaration of the final victory. You know, the final victory has been over. Finally, we're free. No, not yet. You're not done yet. The job is not done yet. It's only up to that point where the stone of help, where Ebenezer was placed. Up to that point, He's reminding them, hitherto has the Lord helped us. God's people are not out of the woods yet. Ebenezer was set up to remind the Israelites that they still have to maintain their faith. They still have to maintain their faith in the days ahead. There's still a work to be done. One writer, Matthew Poole, Puritan, wrote this: He has begun to help us in some measure, though not completely to deliver us. by which expression he excites both their thankfulness for their mercy received and their holy fear and care to please and serve the Lord, that he might proceed to help them and to deliver them more effectually. See, the Lord is going to show them, I've helped you up to this point, I've brought the ark back to you, but the job is not done yet. But why this stone was set up and why the Lord has been bringing them to this point in time is so that they can be encouraged to go on in their spiritual journey. And we need that. We all need that. We need that little encouragement. And we do have many encouragements. Don't ever forget that. The Lord has helped us in many ways in 2024. And if you have time you to think about this. And the reason why the Lord has helped you in 2024 is so that you can look forward in 2025 without that fear and trepidation. You know, we know very well that our journey is not over yet. We are not in heaven yet. We are not in glory yet. While we are here, we need all these little encouragements. We need this Ebenezer to be raised up for us. Now, with the final hymn we're going to be singing, "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing," written by Robert Robinson in 1758. And there's one line there which you may be well aware of. In second stanza, the hymn goes, "Here I raise my Ebenezer, here I raise my Ebenezer. Hither by thy help I'm come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God, to rescue me from danger, interposed his precious blood." You see what the hymn writer tried to use, the imagery of this particular event in Samuel raising up the stone of help, Ebenezer, and putting it into the cover of a New Testament context. The Ebenezer that we have to raise to remind us that the Lord is still there to help us. The Lord is there to help us, and the Lord will help us. To help us to do what? To safely arrive at home. To bring us from this life to the life hereafter. To bring us from here to glory. He's here to help us through. So we don't just look back, but we also look forward. And we look forward. Jesus is going to seek us when, if we are a stranger, if we are wandering from the fold of God, Jesus is going to bring us back. He's going to rescue us. Well, have we raised our own Ebenezers? Like I say, we're not talking about stone, but you know, have we raised our own Ebenezers? Have we done that? Will we persevere in 2025? Will we persevere in the faith? Will we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Savior, Jesus Christ? Will we receive a fresh blessing from the Lord? Of course we will. But are we anticipating that? Or are we looking in 2025 with some great dread? Well, I hope we are not. Are we looking forward to 2025 that the Lord is going to be there with us? Can we say, as the psalmist said in Psalm 85, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" Well, have we raised up our own Ebenezers? Well, our Ebenezer is very simple. It's called Calvary. Our Ebenezer is Calvary. Matthew Henry wrote, "Samuel erected a memorial of this victory to the glory of God to encourage Israel. Through successive generations, the Church of God has had cause to set up Ebenezers to renew deliverances. neither outward persecutions nor inward corruptions have prevailed against her, the church. Because, why? Because hitherto the Lord has helped her, and he will help even to the end of the world. I think Matthew Henry struck a nail right on his head. We too raise up our various Ebenezers to say the Lord has helped us throughout 2024. We've been delivered in many, many ways. We may not have the kind of persecutions that others are facing, but you know, we have seen close to persecutions in this country, where Christians have been jailed for just even speaking their minds, or even praying silently. But we've been delivered from all of these things. Why? So that the Lord has helped us through this period. Why? So that he can help us into the new year. And that is so important for us. We need that encouragement. We need that encouragement from the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ will help us, giving us that assurance that we need, that we can face 2025 knowing that the Lord is with us. You know, if we are here this morning, you know, we can raise up various Ebenezers. I say already, Calvary is the ultimate Ebenezer to remind us of what the Lord has done for us in dying on the cross of Calvary for our sin and for our salvation. That is our greatest Ebenezer. But we have other Ebenezers we can think of. We can say, like in Hebrews chapter 13 verse 6, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Well, that can be our own Ebenezer. That verse can be our Ebenezer. The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. You know, Joey was mentioning about, you know, the need for memorizing scriptures. And that's very true, because that will be our own Ebenezers. As a church, as your own congregation, you have your own verses to help you through the year, but individually you have your own verse and verses to help you to set up your own Ebenezers. Verses that would see you through the new year. Or perhaps your Ebenezer could be a verse like Philippians 1 verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Well, that's a good Ebenezer for you. Perhaps that's a verse that can be commended to you as your Ebenezer for 2025. He who has begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Reminding us, our journey is not over. Our journey is not over yet. There's still, for some of us, maybe a long way to go. For some of us, maybe not that long way to go. But either way, we need that encouragement. We need to set up our own Ebenezers. And perhaps some of you, the Ebenezer might be 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps it's as simple as that. Victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps 2024 may be a difficult year for you, and perhaps you're looking with 2025 with slightly dreaded eyes, with fear. Well, perhaps this might be your Ebenezer, that the Lord will give you victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Our journey may not be over, but we know the destination is there. Glory is there. Heaven is there. Best of all, Jesus Christ is there. And while we're here in this world, we set our own Ebenezers to help us, to encourage us. We can look back and see how the Lord has helped us through up to this point in time. And we can look forward into 2025 saying, this is our Ebenezer. The Lord has helped us in the past. The Lord is going to see us through to the end. Well, may the Lord bless these few thoughts to our hearts. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpeh and Shen and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, hitherto, or thus far,
have the Lord help us. May the Lord bless us and keep us.